January 28, 2021 is the Watt for Pedro show.
Thank you.
Watt for Pedro Show. Happy Thursday. Last Thursday of the January, where you have to say 2021. Well, I guess it's getting easier to say. Well, we started off with John Coltrane and Don Cherry doing The Invisible. Petra's daddy, Charlie, hitting on the bass. Or is it? Yeah, because it might be Percy Heath, huh? Because I got to go look. I'm fucking idiot. Anyway, I know for sure the next tune was Cargatron with Liesel. And speaking of which, you know, Brother Matt, he's into Love God on the Pleasure Point a couple miles south because we're still in quarantino mode. But I am not totally man alone because those Estonian software engineers with their Skype invention, I got Cargatron with me from Oklahoma City. Welcome aboard, Blake.
Hello.
Taylor.
Thanks for having us.
No problem. A big honor. I love your music. And we got to give big respect to Brother Evan Lipson for making the connect.
Thank you, Evan. The honor's all ours.
Okay. Who wants to go first? Because I want to, like, explore you, both of these guys' musical journeys.
Well,
go for it, Taylor.
Okay. Taylor, your earliest musical recollection, please.
Earliest musical recollection. I went to the first concert I ever went to, which I think is one of my earliest memories, was an Alan Jackson concert here in Oklahoma City. I was probably 7 or so. I went with my sister, and that was great. Really enjoyed that. It felt so big, so huge, and
no music memories from the pad you grew up. Was there any instruments?
My dad was a big, like, music fan, but he never played music. And then my cousin got me into playing guitar, Blaze. He plays lots of music, played a band called Can't Tells, and now he writes music by himself, Blaze McKenzie. And so he got me into playing guitar. And so I was always kind of, like, listening to what he and my other cousin, his sister Rivers, what they were listening to. They were listening to, like, things like Radiohead, Flaming Lips, Weezer, kind of like bigger indie bands and other things like...
bigger indie, that's funny.
Yeah.
How is India sound?
Yeah, you know what I'm saying. Yeah,
No, it's not you. It's not you, Taylor. It's just like the what do you call it, the conventional wisdom. There's been this kind of genre. You know I hate genres anyway, right? They're fucking a collar for a slave, right? So, but this idea of India, it sounds more like the economic than the style of music, but whatever. I'm curious, your cousin, so there's no instrument, your pop's a listener. So he's got records, but he ain't got instruments. So your cousin brings over his guitar to play for you?
Yeah, I was, like, taking guitar lessons from him. I got an acoustic guitar when I was 13, and then I would, like, take, like, lessons from my cousin.
Was he a good teacher? Was he a good teacher?
I think so, yeah. I learned a lot. I also really looked up to him, you know, so it was kind of like, you know, he's, like, probably 6 years older than me, 5 years older than me, so it was... Maybe a little less, actually. And anyway, I was at that age where I was like a young teenager and he was like an old teenager. So that age gap is huge, you know?
Yeah, I know what you mean. Even like 3 years is a big fucking, because it's another fucking school even. Can I ask
Definitely.
You, can I, Tara, can I ask you about school? Were you in the choir, the marching band, or shit like that?
I went to like a magnet school. It's a public school. It's actually the school I teach at right now. It's kind of some small town shit going on, but like, I went to this magnet school. You got to apply to get in, but it's public, it's free, but they have majors. So you can either there's like two different routes you can do. You can either do the IB route, which is like the more academically engaged route, or you can do a visual performing arts major. And I did classical guitar. So I was like playing classical guitar then, for like all my high school, time.
So you're not just taking lessons from your cousin, you're getting lessons from the school system.
Right, yeah.
That's interesting. Wow. So was there like a classical band?
Yeah, there was a classical guitar ensemble at school that I went to.
Bitchin', man. I never heard of that before. And a public school, too. That's great. What was the first record you bought with your own money?
That would be the Teen Idols CD, where it's like, they've got like a graduation sort of like gown on, and there's like a Coca-Cola logo on there. Fuck, do you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely.
Okay, I don't remember the name, but yeah, that's it. That's the CD I got at Size Records, which was next to the conservatory, right?
That's right. Fuck, I'm telling listeners, because we were talking off air about my connects with Oklahoma City, and one of it was this pad that's right next to a record store. And it's got more connects than we can imagine. So, besides the classical guitar, did you have the thing like after school with the fucking garage band, basement band, bedroom band?
Yes. Yeah. Definitely had like a group of people I played music with. We had all kinds of different like little bands we'd do, from like weird acoustic music, kind of like punky though. It was really bad. And then we did a like two-piece, like, you know, we found out what grindcore was in like eighth grade, and so we started a grindcore band immediately. Yeah, and then it kind of just, we're tons of bands throughout high school. Punk bands, was in like a sludge doom band for a couple years. All like, you know, we were all the same age, so that was kind of a nice bonding experience too.
I'm curious, did you start writing your own material, or were you copying off records like me and D Boone?
I think at that time we did a couple covers, but it was mostly original stuff. That's, I think, great. The earliest cover. Oh, I do remember, the first band I ever joined was called Spam, and I really wanted to be in this band. It was like these sixth grade boys that I thought were cool, and they were great at playing music. And they had a keyboard in the band, and one of them, the keyboard player, like, showed me the Misfits and stuff like that. So I was really kind of, I wanted to be in it, but I didn't really have the chops. So they were covering that Red Hot Chili Peppers song, Can't Stop, and that's, I learned that, played it very poorly, and that was my, audition for that band. And then, yeah, I was in that band for a minute, then we, like, changed the name around, and I don't remember really the timeline, but then started playing different music together.
Is that where you did your first gig, that band?
Yeah, there was like a roller rink. I think it's still there. It's called Rock and Roller Rink. It's in Edmond, Oklahoma, which is like a suburb north of Oklahoma City. And they had this back room. You know, it's like, oh, it's great. Like all dark, all black walls with like black light paintings on the wall. So when you turn off the lights and then you put a black light in the room, it looks all like, you know, ravey or something. And yeah, that was really something else.
I'm 13 in 1970, so like dudes used to paint their bedrooms black and use black lights for the fucking posters.
Yes.
So you'd listen to Paranoid or Master Reality, you know, and
I wish I could say it was as cool as that. It wasn't that cool.
Smoke mota. So when you go to college, do you continue to study music at school, or did you go for your teacher?
Yeah, I dropped the whole classical guitar thing immediately after high school. I was so over it. I hated having to grow out my fingernails on my right hand. I hated, like, the discipline. I was so over it. But, yeah, then I went on to... I actually moved to Germany after high school and did this like vocational scholarship type thing, and worked a few like jobs over there, a few internships, and then I came back and went to Norman, lived there for 4 years, and went to school. And I didn't go to school like for my bachelor's for teaching. I studied German and European studies, and then went back to Germany with a Fulbright after graduated, and did like I was there for a year. I had a research project planned. It totally fell through, did something else. Came back, and that's when I got offered the job to teach at my old high school, German. So I didn't have any like teacher credentials or any pedagogical training. I just knew the language, lived there for a couple years, and had studied it from like seventh grade until that point, you know, and that's the only thing I was familiar with. So I said yes to the job, and I'm still there, and it's been a wild ride. But, you know, now I've kind of like taken course. I was what they call emergency certified. So the district granted me a temporary teaching certificate because they needed the teacher to fill the position so badly. So then I, started the job under the condition that I would start taking teacher courses. So I was like taking those courses and doing professional development bullshit while I was teaching. And now, as of now, 5 years later, I finally have my official teaching certificate, even though I've been teaching. This is my sixth academic year. So
yeah, well, my main point was like, I wanted to know if you went to school for music, because, you know, there's different roads, right? what do you call it, autodidact, where you just, or you got the cousin helping you, or, yeah, Berklee School of Music, whatever. I want to play Sister Silence.
Vermoedend onverstoord, soms vloekt hij binnensmonds, maar hoor je niks van, ja, dat is de goede soort. Hij doet wat hoort, en dat weet hij donders goed. Net iets te vaak, doe maar normaal, dan doe je al gek genoeg gehoord. Opgevoed door gehoorzame burgers, die een maaltje bij elkaar schrapen. Al last als atlas dragen, voetzolen gehavend en blaren op elk lichaamsdeel dat externe oppervlaktes eventueel zou kunnen raken. Ook al is het overdreven. Fuck it! Zelfs in het weekend kun je niet ontsnappen naar een andere wereld. Rust, regelmaat, reinheid. De hele rattenvlauw rammen we erin. Braaf achter elkaar aan marcheren, de ratten gaan we ze zin. Het is een kwestie van discipline. Staren naar de vitrine. Je weet, je blijft er met de tingels af omdat je de eerst moet verdienen. Bliksbesef zit je niks in de weg. Tenminste niet als je lekker binnen vet. Haal de prijzen maar uit het zicht weg omdat je toch niks te winnen hebt. Zolang de wekker die naast me hoor staat, gaat niet het type dat doorslaat. Iedere dag van voren af aan. Gevolgen voorzaak, ik weet niet welke precies voorgaat, maar ik denk dat ik voortaan maar er gewoon mee doorga. Het is binnen het werken. We de zin in je begint. De boten, daar val je heus niet met de neus middenin. Je rondjes draaien op een perpetuum fidget spinner. Je zet je missie op shit die je verplicht ziet. Realiteit of wetenschappelijke fictie. Soepele frictie, gebrekkige intelligentie. Neurale interferentie. Geprogrammeerd binnen de lijnen lopen omdat je een dividend ziet. Wat nou vierde dimensie? Ik zie slechts het platte vlak. Soms zie ik een opening in de lucht en lig ik bij mezelf. What the fuck? Zolang de wekker die naast me hoor staat, ga. Niet het type dat doorslaat, iedere dag van voren af aan. Gevolgen voorzaak, weet niet welke precies voorgaat, maar ik denk dat ik voortaan maar gewoon mee doorga.
Thank you. Thank you. dollars head down, nose high, shoe shining. Rich man with poor man's heart. Stretching from the projects and five stacks to God. Let him have his love out to find a vibe, but don't even get the stuff. Stop it, warm shape of beauty, charge the seas warm. Sometimes take the risk of play, fly like Udas. I can feel like a falcon. Feel like I'm on my last ass and counting. Rock a fly, fear death for me and count the shit. Red Bull, praying to cops. Stone cold, stone cold, fuck you ever, ever stop. Claimants to a founder, characters, colonizers, clowning. Black Christ, rap, rock, headlines, next to the headlines. King, dream, fan, die. Hurry through the graveyard. Blood runs to counter me while I'm bank run dry.
Watch for Pedro show. Yeah, that chunk of music started with unreleased Carga Trom, Sister Silence. Then something new from Netherlands, from Von Vonder, the Dag, Der Boer Plogt Woos. Sorry for fucking up the language, Pete. I know 90% of that's supposed to come out of the throat. Heinz Ratten out of Switzerland with 6 months. The Bulmus Preden from D.C. area, Trapdoor. Gareth Sager out of England, Miniature 07. Sergey from Tonus Saint with Bruno Ferrux, Xavier De Silva. He was on the show a couple of episodes back, Rotterdam. Great bass man. Mika Levy, she did Cold Eyes. Then Pineapple Empress from South London, Better Call the Girl Back. Model Home out of D.C., brand new album, great album, Survival. And then the last from that last second album that just Vitas just put out, a tune called Obsession. Finally, Carga Trom with Unreleased. Has that been released?
No.
No.
All right. Blake, it's your turn. You're early. Remember, it's the Walk for Pedro show. No hard questions and no wrong answers. Don't worry. Your earliest musical memory, please, Blake.
So I was forced as a child, luckily now looking back, but to take piano lessons, and so were my brothers. So one of my earliest memories is hearing Canon in D, like the wedding song, and really, really like wanting to learn that song, but it was six levels higher than I was supposed to be. But I was determined and decided to teach myself that song.
Well,
and,
can I ask you about the teacher? Because, you know, I've had a lot of people on the show, and, like, piano lessons is a big issue. And a lot of times it's made people almost want to hate music, and it seems that the teacher has a lot to do with that.
Well, I think, like, I agree. I didn't have a great relationship with my teacher. I think when you're, like, learning piano, especially as a young kid, there's so many fundamentals and just, like, technique stuff that you've got to learn, and it's just so dull that it makes the whole process so brutal, which is why I heard a song and I was like, oh, I want to learn that instead of doing these like scale runs so I can remember, you know.
Yeah, what do they call rudiments, right?
Yeah, the rudiments. So, yeah, it was piano for me, and I actually started like messing around with writing my own things on piano as a young kid, but I kind of dropped it. I thought the piano was uncool.
You know, rock and roll started on the piano, not really the guitar.
Oh, right. Yeah. Now I look back and I'm looking to buy a piano for my house at some point.
Yeah, well, the electronic ones, they're econo now, but man, I remember in the 70s, me and D. Boone knew no one because they were so expensive.
Yeah,
no Casios yet in the 70s.
Yeah.
But can I ask you about school? Were you in the choir, the marching band?
I took 1 year of trumpet, but I was a teenager, thought it was really uncool. Another thing I really wish I would have stuck with, though.
Miles Davis.
I know, right? But I was just a kid. I didn't really know any of that stuff.
Yeah, sure,
I hadn't really dabbled. But so yeah, I did 1 year of trumpet, and then I think like my senior year, I took jazz guitar, but I never went to class. They were focused on their marching band.
Yeah, I can't imagine we didn't do anything.
Yeah, so that was pretty much a worthless endeavor. But
maybe a detour. So Blake, what was the first record you bought with your own money?
My own money, I don't know, it's tough. Why is that a question?
Because when you're a kid, you don't got a lot of money, so when you spend it, right?
Yeah, I think the first CD I bought was a CD by the band The Vines. The record's Highly Evolved. I remember buying, and I remember buying like a Red Hot Chili Peppers CD. I don't remember the name of the album even anymore, but...
That's okay. What about your first gig?
First gig was in a backyard at a birthday party.
No, the first concert, not where you were playing, but you were a gig goer.
Man, I think I went to this E6 concert as a kid that my brother took me to. Okay. And, like, Genuine played it. It was really strange. And it was, like, in a big... I can't even remember what the it was like a big arena. So we were like way up and
yeah, I know all about those gigs. They're fucked. I hate them.
Yeah, they're awful.
Tell me about the gig you did in the backyard. That was your first gig, right?
Yeah, so it was a band called Elbow in My Back. It was me and two friends, and we played three songs, I think. We played a Strokes song. Is This It, I think, and then we played a Toadie song.
The Texas band.
Yeah, and then...
I met some of those guys. They named that band after a Minutemen song.
Oh, really?
I wouldn't shit you, Blake.
I would hope not. I'd hope not. God, I can't even remember.
That's what the dude told me. I don't, you know, hopefully he wasn't lying, but... Yeah, Toadies. I wrote this song after reading the... I don't even know if they're real, but these Dmitri Shostakovich COVID memoirs and shit. So I wrote a song called Toadies. They told me they named their band after that. So how'd the gig go? Was it a success?
Oh, it was awful.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, it was, I mean, yeah, it was 12, 13, I think. Just barely started playing guitar. But, you know, it was fun.
Did the people...
It was interesting.
Did the gig goers let you know? They didn't dig it?
I mean, it was a birthday party for one of the dudes in the band, and so, of course, like, you know, everyone is nice about it, but it didn't go well. We had played drums that never played before, so.
One time me and D. Boom was doing we were 15, and it's a bar mitzvah for the drummer's brother, and a lot of good chow and shit, but they closed the sliding glass hatch, you know, in front of us, so we knew it wasn't going over. It was a bunch of lame ass attempts at covering songs from the first Kiss album. Man, was it terrible! I had a Hawaiian shirt on with wooden buttons.
Nice,
like a nightmare. Big hair, you know, like a sphere. You know. Yeah, come on, and it's like 73 or 74 or something. But so I always want to hear about the first gigs, because most of the time it's like great and fantastic and shit, but yeah, they slid the fucking, so they could see us, you know, but luckily didn't hear us anymore, or we were muted. how did you develop your music thing after that? Did you go to college to do music?
No, I did not. Pretty much after piano, I started taking piano at like the age of, I want to say like maybe 6 or 7, and stopped by the time I was like 11, and the rest is just self-teaching.
Yeah, which is, you know, there's not wrong with that. In fact, it's one way to try to get your own style, especially if you say like you did, you started writing your own material. See, the mentality when me and D. Boom were teenagers, everybody just copied off records, everything. Like you
even
songs from other bands. Yeah, you never thought of music as a form of expression. It was fucked up. That's why we needed the punk movement.
Mm-hmm.
Look, we're at the end of the first hour, January 27, 2021, Dish Wap Pedro Show. No, it's the 28th, Watt, you fucking idiot. Special guest, Carter Trump. Hold tight for hour 2. January 28th, 2021. It's the second hour of the Watt for Pedro show. We'll be right back.
Who helped me find the next beast to kiss? I know some of you folks just ain't ready for this. Who'll be my partner in breaking the law? Who's got that certain je ne sais quoi? Party people, get on the dance floor. Friends, are you tired? Do you feel stressed? Inappropriately dressed for success? What a mess. Are you here now? Nevertheless, you know that you're guilty. When will you confess? Put your hands in the air like you just don't care. Shake it like a ball and chain. Shake it like a shakes your brain.
Watt from Pedro Show. Second hour, we start off with Carter Trom and Detour. Party People, Get on the Dance Floor from Sam Bennett. Been in Tokyo 25 years. Sleep Party People with Our Fallen Snow. Is it snowing where you guys are?
Not now. It's pretty sunny out right now.
Okay. Someday. I know. Man, the wind can get blowing in your town.
Yes.
You take I-35 out of the panhandle, and you can just see the trees. The roots are just, yeah, it's intense. Like camping, right? Intense. The Girl with the Spinach Head from Some Days. And finally, Kratz from Carter Trom. So how did Taylor here meet Blake? How'd Blake meet Taylor?
Oh, we worked at a cafe together in Norman.
Ah, the college town.
Yes. Yeah, we worked at this cafe. It was great. It was really a wonderful time. The whole crew was beautiful. And I, like, you know, took so many groceries from that place. They didn't keep inventory. And we just, like, lived off that cafe. We would go there on our days off and just eat there for free.
That's true. Coffee.
You were just borrowing
beer.
You're gonna bring a bunch of chow back and pay them.
Oh, they went under. It's sad. They went under, and I wonder why.
Uh-oh. Karma's a bank account. Watch out. Now, so you guys are working together, and so what, you find out you both play, and let's make a band? How did Carter Trom happen?
It still took... I mean, we just became friends. We listened to music in the kitchen, just like kind of traded music, but we didn't really start playing together for a couple years after that. We each had our own things kind of going, so Taylor was in school also, and so, I mean, we just developed a friendship there, and then later on, we kind of just...
Can I ask about the music? Did you make each other mixtapes?
No, nothing like that I remember.
Because that used to be really big in the old days, you know. Dudes, you wouldn't even know, but if they had the fucking tunes that you never heard, it was Bitch and Connect.
Yeah, it was more just like a, you know, iPod in the back connected to a speaker and playing music.
Playlist.
Yeah.
But it's kind of the same concept a little bit. But anyway, so you're just buds and you happen to be working at the same place and hearing music. But what was the moment was like, fuck, let's get Carter Trom happening.
So I think I had signed up to do a solo experimental show. I was making a bunch of ambient music at the time. And kind of wanted to do something a little different. And so I started making a little bit more beat-oriented music, and I asked Taylor to come just like freestyle German singing vocals at the show, and then just kind of took off from that.
So you were looking for a singer, man.
Yeah, but more so just like an improv, one-off type show thing that'll flash in the pan, happen, and then that's that. We both also had, at that time, other projects. I even think, Taylor, you were getting ready to go on tour, possibly. But, yeah, it was awesome. We had a lot of fun, and then we were like, hey, why not just make this a thing?
Did you guys have the name? Or were you, was that
no,
a name pride?
I don't think we did at that point, did we?
No, we just went under your name that show, Holy Siege, right?
Yeah, I think so.
Holy Siege?
Yeah. Yeah. Named after Waco.
Yeah. I-35. Yeah. I remember, you know, I was driving by there on tour once when that was happening. And there was motherfuckers selling little David Koresh dolls on the side of the road. I mean, because that was off. You could see the smoke and stuff, but, you know what I mean. I think yeah. Dr. Pepper Waco's famous for it, too. I want to play Spiegelbild. Spiegelbild.
Thank you.
Peter Show, Spiegelbilt, Cargatron. See Feel after that, Dead Guitars, Waku Waku Kingdom. Yeah, both with Brother Shige, Blow It Up. Botanist from the city, Terra, Don't Fight. I guess this guy plays an electric zither, you know, to do goth, Cookie Monster, what's that shit called? All these subgenre names, it's tough on. It's my fault, not everybody else. And then from Poland, Trupa Trupa with Love Supreme, not A Love Supreme. And finally, I guess it would be Yuka? I don't know. Cargatron.
Oh, Yuka, yeah.
Yuka, yeah. You know the J's.
It's like, yippee!
Well, J's can be H sound, and, you know, Jose in Espanol, and then they get, you know, Yugoslavia, it's a Y sound, and then, you know. It's a soft J, you know. You don't know until you hear somebody say it. So we used this Roman alphabet to get everybody's languages going. So it's kind of hard to know sometimes. Like we say Pedro, like, but we don't fuck them all up. We say Cabrillo for the beach, but we don't say jalapenos or tortillas. Or fucking, what's the other one? Frijoles. Yeah, we don't say that shit. We're not totally ignorant. So, okay. So, Holy Siege is the first gig. But when do you, after that gig, what, do you want to do another gig, or do you want to start composing and making material together?
One second.
Well, there goes the radio show. You take it over, Blake.
I think pretty quickly. I mean, like after the first show, we were pretty quickly just hitting the studio and kind of fleshing out the stuff that we did for that show and composing more stuff. And so the first release we did was pretty it's pretty like raw and unfocused, I guess, which I guess is the same for a lot of bands and a lot of first records. But
sure, it's like when the power goes off at the bathhouse, right, and everybody's groping around.
Yeah.
Is that you? Yeah, that don't matter. Well, I'm wondering about the process. Did you come up with the beats and then Taylor brought the words? The Vorton?
At first, yeah, that's how it went. And then as time has progressed, like, we're both very involved in the music writing process. I'm still the one that's mainly, like, at the helm of the computer, but, kind of like the beat making, but it's very collaborative at this point.
You know, off air, people were talking a little bit about Kraftwerk. You know, they had two drummers, and these guys actually played them things, right? Little sliders and shit and little sticks. Are you more sequencer?
A little bit of both. Like, so we like to do very sequenced movements, but then it feels a little stale when it's just that. So we add real recorded drums if we can, guitar, bass, instead of just using like a sequenced bass line. So we do little things like that to really kind of merge the analog and the in-the-box music making.
Yeah, in the box, is it software stuff? Like, what's that shit? Ableton? And Reel? And
yeah, Ableton and, like, Logic, all those things. Whatever, yeah.
Well, Logic... you mean, like, with virtual instruments?
Yeah,
with Logic,
correct.
You can use just, like, a tape recorder, right? Like Pro Tools.
For sure, yeah.
But there's these kind of what I want to call like a software environment, right? Like Ableton or Reel. What's it called? I think it's Scandinavian, right? Reason. It's called Reason.
Yeah.
Do you use that stuff? I'm just curious.
So, a little bit.
Okay.
But for Cargotron, we actually mainly use Logic Pro.
Okay. And you use it more like a tape recorder, right?
A little bit of both. So we use some virtual synthesis, and then, yeah, like, we'll record in other instruments. And, you know, sometimes take those recordings and sample them. Just depends on, like, what we're going for at the moment.
Sure. I'm just curious because I'm kind of totally ignorant of that shit. Look, we're at the end of the second hour, January 28, 2021, Dish Watt Pedo Show special guest, Carter Trump. Hold tight for hour three. January 28, 2021. It's the third hour of the Watt for Pedo Show.
carry it round, and nobody wants to hurt you. Safeguarding their own wounds, everyone is engaged.
Peter, so start off the third hour with We're Still Young, Blake Lusk, then Crane, Dirt, and Jim, Not That Trouble Head, Live Jam, Backyard Kegger, you know, Tesseract with Light Dream, The Beggar's Best, Invisible Complete, Eternal Return, The Void, and finally, American Hate with Milk and Honey. I got this from you guys, so what is American Hate? Well, I kind of know what it is, but what about the proj and the music proj?
Yeah, American Hate was... That was, I played guitar in that band, and that was a four piece. I think we were a band from like 2013 to like just a year or two ago.
Yeah.
And that's the first track off our like LP that we did that came out a couple years ago. And it started off like a like really fast hardcore band.
Yeah.
And then we got like a really nice chemistry going. And we were able to kind of like convince the singer, Ross, who he's a bit older than me, and he's sang in punk bands for like ever in Oklahoma City. And he always wanted it to be like fast and loud. And then the rhythm section and me, we were always like trying to kind of get farther out. And we finally pushed it to where we could find this happy medium between sort of like, you know, freak out and cohesive hardcore punk songs. So
yeah, the eternal search. And then we started yes. off with something from Blake. We're still young, and this is a collab, right?
Yeah, so I did a record where I worked with a bunch of friends in the Oklahoma City music scene, kind of just like I'd start with some bare minimum kind of foundational stuff with the song, have people come in, record stuff on that, take that, move kind of back and forth between that and so yeah, that record I think had like 14 or 15 different people on it total.
Oh, it's like your version of the wrestling record. I made this record like 25 years ago. It had 48 different. Oh, your solo record, why? Yeah, there's 48 people on it.
Yeah, kind of like that. Not quite as much, but as many people.
Well, it was a test, you know. I thought if the bass player knew the song, anybody could come play drums or sing or guitar, you know. Bass is kind of like glue, right?
Right.
If you got nothing to stick to, you're just a fucking puddle. you kind of need the other cats. I want to play something here. I don't understand this title. Radio CCR. Is this Creedence?
No, that was just like, so first of all, though, back to American Hate, just one thing. I got to give a shout out to Tony and his new band Mentita, which means lie in Spanish. They have a new record out in Ireland, and it is incredible. As well as Tim Buchanan, the bass player. He's doing this country rock, this country record. Really good stuff, and I'd encourage anybody to check it out. But MR1919, the Radio CCR track, that was a band that I had going with in Berlin when I was living there 2014 to 2015 with this guy Artem and Daniel. And so the CCR thing, I really don't know. That was just like us kind of jamming. And funny enough, we jammed in the basement, the same basement that German band Tonsteine Scherben. Do you know that band?
No, I don't.
They're like a 70s, like, kind of punky art rock band from Berlin. But they were like a big part of this squat there called the Rauchhaus. And that squatted house is still like a what they would call a house project in Germany. It's like been kind of co-opted by the city of Berlin as like a historical preservation site, but people still like live there. And you know, essentially, I don't know how it is, but they don't pay much, if anything, to live there. But in the basement, that's where bands practice and shit. And so we practiced there, and that was very cool.
The club we played was called SO36 in the old days.
Yes, that's still there. Yeah. Pretty wild.
And, yeah, there was a lot of squats and stuff around. I think it was an old butcher place. You know what I'm talking? Slaughterhouse. Yeah, so, but CCR, you still didn't answer me. That don't mean Creed's Clearwater Revival.
No, it's just kind of nonsense. You know, when you're just like making up lyrics and like, da 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 da. Blah, 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 blah. This is kind of one of those moments.
Because when I met D. Boone, that was the only rock band he knew. We were 12. And that's the only rock band he knew was Creedence. So why I ended up wearing fucking flannels. Because I couldn't hear the goddamn bass on the records. His mom wanted me to play the bass. There we go. Sorry, Doc. I didn't mean to
bring it up. I know. It's Rogers. Ridiculous.
The Hund. It's too loud. So what happened was, I thought if I looking at the album covers, I thought if I wore the singer's shirts, he would still like me. Because I couldn't hear what that dude was playing. I can now, though. Okay, so let's play Radio CC. You know, they never had a number one, but they had 13 number twos. And they did six albums in 68 to 70, 3 years.
Oh!
For Pedro Show Last Music for this edition, MR 1919 with Radio CCR. Nothing to do with Creeds. It's more like scat singing people. And then Ptolemy D. But you know, Germany had a rock scene, you know, going back to the 60s where they were finding their own way, you know, and a lot of great bands, Amendool and Neu and Can, Kraftwerk. And then even with the punk movement, where speaking off-air, people, I was a big fan of Der Plan in Deutsche Amerikanische Freundschaft. Abwärts, too. Not as electronic, but still bitchin' bad. They had Mufti, I think, before he was in Einstein and Zinoibach. So,
he was the drummer, right?
Yeah, Zero. Yeah, yeah. Great. Well, I think he was working the wrench on pipe. It was out in the desert. It was the last time I ate L. It was 1983. And he was, like, beating the fuck out. The bass man had a one-string bass. And then he threw it on the ground and got this big pounder thing you use for leveling land. And he pounded the shit out of that fucking bass. John Dietrich from Deerhoof with 08. Aquashade with July. I think this lady is playing guitar now for Billy in Bikini Kill. And then finally, Cogatron. Das Ende. I thought this would be a good one for the last one. a dream, right? But Karger? Oops. You want to help me with the German there, Taylor? Karger?
Yeah, Karger Traum. Karg is like barren or sparse. Okay. Yeah, and Traum means dream. Yeah, okay. The ER is like the adjective ending.
Right. Okay, so, a very hopeful, positive name for the band. But, you know, I think what you're doing, I like your sounds a lot, man. I really like what you're doing. With this situation we got, have you been composing? You say you live three pads away from each other, so collabs?
Nah, man.
actually, no.
So not even trading files.
No. We do everything like together and at Blake's house. His like living room is also like a little studio.
Yeah.
And I mean, we've been really laying low. So, my label put out the Cargotron record. So yeah. I've been kind of doing some more like I've been honestly having a lot of fun with like the back end stuff of like doing the label shit. You know, it's not as like musically creative, but I do kind of feel like it is creative in a certain sense.
It is, because that's how you get other cats to hear it.
Right, yeah.
Right? You know what I mean? If all the painting's going to the closet, like Yeah, only the dudes in the closet get to see it.
Yeah, it could be a beautiful closet, though.
Yeah, I know. Or you could, like, start giving guided tours of the closet, and that's kind of what a label is.
Yeah.
I know, because me and D-Boom made a label as soon as we got friends with the Black Flag guys, because being in a punk band wasn't just writing your own songs and doing gigs. It was making records. You know, which we never knew of, right? That we thought it came from Mount Olympus or some shit for the Arena Rock show. We didn't know you could just had to pay a pressing guy to have them made. So I have a big respect for that. What'd you call it? The back end.
Yeah. You can do some fun stuff with that.
And where can people find your label on the internet?
You can just go to fixedrhythms.com, and it'll take you straight to the Bandcamp. Fixed Rhythms is what the label's called. It's mostly like techno and house and some, kind of that direction of dance music. But we found that the Cargatron record fit, and so we did it. We split the release actually with the label that put out our first stuff, who like really believed in us. And that's DKA Records out of Atlanta. And Chris and Matt, those guys are like, they've been like mentors for me for the label, and they have been mentors for us with the band and like really helping us out. So, we wouldn't really be doing like, I don't know.
No, you're right. People ask me about the old days. I said the old days was about people. The new days is about people too. So all the connects and people helping each other out, that's fucking bitching, man.
Yeah.
Big respect to those cats in Atlanta. Look, when you guys do get around to getting into fucking Blake's living room and getting some more Cargatron, will you come back on the show and we can play it and talk about it?
We'd love to.
Oh, for sure.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Big respect. Please keep on keeping on. People, it's been the January 28, 2021, and just WAP Pedro, so keep your powder dry.